Father, once again, I ask you, Lord, to this morning increase our understanding. We thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I thank you for giving me your word this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as it goes out, Lord, that it would accomplish what it's sent to do. That it would increase faith, increase understanding, increase insight into you. It would illuminate the understanding according to your word. Hide me behind the cross. I yield myself to you to be your oracle this morning, to speak for you, Lord. Speak what you've given to me, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, once again, let it go in and touch the hearts and lives of people. Let it bring strength. Let it bring truth. And let it bring steadfastness, causing us to be immovable in faith in you, and in our understanding, Lord. For this I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, in the last few days, I've had opportunities to talk to several different people about lots of different things. And one of the things that I still am amazed at is the fact that when you listen to people and you see and speak with people who, there's no question about their fact they're Christians, but they really don't have the strength or the insight or the understanding of the word. There's too many words that we throw around just kind of flippantly, and we're not even sure really what they really mean. We get confused about it. As I was speaking to somebody last night, we had a good conversation. I'm not sure where this man's really coming from, but I think he has some insight and some understanding about some things. But the one thing that I know for sure is that when you get involved with any kind of religion, when you get involved with any kind of theology based on traditions or on loose or What's another word I could use here? Loose understanding or loose... Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably a good way to say it, Harry. Then you really don't get the full value and you really don't understand some things you need to understand. This morning I want to talk about, basically, a deeper insight into what your salvation actually means and what exactly was accomplished. And what I want to do is this morning is I want to just delve into some things so that we can become solid in our belief and so that we can give insight and understanding to other people. You know, so many times we hear things and we want to explain to people what really is meant there or what really happened. Salvation is the main thing. You know, if you haven't got salvation down, if you don't understand what happened there, then you pretty much stymied in everything else. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I hear people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Now, every one of us here probably heard that at one time or another. Maybe we've even said it. And the only reason somebody would say something like that is because they don't understand exactly what salvation is, exactly what was accomplished through the plan of God and through the execution of the will of God by Jesus. Most people believe that they are sinners saved by grace. That is a true statement. The problem is that you were a sinner that was saved by grace. And they don't understand that. Because they lack personal study and sound teaching based in and backed by the Scripture, they have less than concrete beliefs. They'll make statements, but they really can't back them up, and they really can't tell you why they believe what they believe, or they don't have an explanation at all. Many cannot or do not understand truth or the real truth. They're caught in half or partial truths. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. One of the most important and foundational truths is understanding sin and disobedience. What it does to us. We're not going to delve so much into that at this moment, but we're going to delve into the work that did away with sin. I believe most everybody here, if not everybody, understands that our sin was done away with. Now, what sin are we talking about? Sin is a very loose word. People throw that word sin out there, and they really don't have a concept. There's two different areas that we want to look at. And I don't know that we'll get to the second one today, but we'll see what happens. I'll be honest with you, I'm prepared for the first part of this. I don't think the second part I'm going to get to today, but we'll see. The statement comes out all the time, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. We're all sinners. That's a false statement. There's no basis in truth in that in the Word. Now, Bill, why are you saying that? How are you going to back this up? Well, and of course, that particular statement or those two statements cause great controversy. Some people say, no, that's not true. Some people say it is true. How many know the only thing we can count on and the only thing we can base our opinions on is the Word of God? What does the Word say? Are you settled on this thought? Or are you uncertain? Can you back up correctly what you believe in scriptural context? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man, and the word be there is a word that was added. It's not in the original. It was added for emphasis and to bring out, help bring out meaning. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When a being passes away, there's no more life. The old in this scripture is deceased, dead, or passed away. According to the scripture, if you are in Christ, the old man is dead, no more life. Amen? Hallelujah. However, because you are now in Christ, you are a new life, person or being. You have no past, and you're just starting the first day of your future. No past, only future. Amen? Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins return to me. Let me just read it out of here because I think I missed a word here. Okay, no, I got to get the punctuation in the right place. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Now Colossians 2:13-15 says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, the King James Version says ordinances, that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way. Did you catch that? It's very important that you understand that. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And in so having nailed it to the cross, he has disarmed, in verse 15, principalities and powers, and he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. When you are born of the will of God, but because of Adam's sin, and we're going to look into this here in just a few minutes, there was a transfer of the tainted blood because of the disobedience of Adam that's transferred to all men. Now God, because of his love for his man that he created, we're all God's creation. Unfortunately, we know many people who are not God's kids because they're not serving him. And that's the delineation point. You are a sinner if you don't know God. And you are hopeless. You are without hope if you don't turn to him and you don't surrender your life to him. In the Word, the name Adam is said to mean blood of God. God's creation, also in the Word of God, Adam was God's creation. Also in the Word of God, Jesus is said to be the second and the final Adam, or the final blood of God. Now listen carefully, because if you don't have it down yet, if you listen carefully, you're going to get some understanding today of exactly what transpired here and why that sin has no more hold or effect on you, and why God does not see or remember your sin, because it's not your sin anymore. Didn't we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new species of being that never before existed? It says the old is passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen? I had fun putting this together. I'll tell you, when God was speaking to me, my little hands was just writing fast as my heart would beat. Again, because of Adam's sin or disobedience, all of mankind that came after him had tainted blood, because sin had entered in. This happened due to the disobedience on Adam's part. Adam, the blood of God, had now become infected because of his sin or disobedience. As a result, once again, all mankind has now become infected. And the only remedy is to be born again. But in being born again, you need to understand exactly what happened. Jesus went to the cross. We just read how our transgressions were nailed to that cross, and they were taken away from us. The sin was dealt with. So how can you be a sinner now when you have been redeemed and set free, and Jesus has become that sin and nailed that sin to the cross? You see, God devised a plan where his man, his son, would come as the sinless Son of God. Now, how can he do that if sin is passed on through the blood? Because Jesus wasn't conceived by human blood. He was conceived by the Spirit of God in a virgin. Amen? Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying? What the Word's saying? In biology, you learn that the blood of offspring is transferred through the male. Thus sin, and still is, thus was sin, and still is today, transferred through man. Or through the man. That is the sin nature, which is based on self-indulgence and self-gratification. Are we all on the same page? Our Father had to devise a plan. God had to devise and design a plan that would restore mankind to his original state of sinlessness, not having sin operate in their bodies or lives. This is a foundational truth. But it's very important that we understand it, because the basis of our entire Christian existence and walk is based on this foundation. Okay? So we find, as we read and study about the birth of Christ, starting at his conception in the Virgin Mary, who had never had relations with a man, conceived Jesus through the Spirit which overshadowed her. Thus, again, no transfer of tainted blood. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. Very much flesh, but very much the Son of God. And because there was no transfer of this tainted blood, again, Jesus could be and was the sinless man, allowing him to be the perfect and sinless sacrifice for mankind's sin or disobedience. Y'all still with me? Because Jesus was a sinless sacrifice, we find in Psalm 103:12, and also because of his obedience to the Father, unlike the disobedience of Adam, we find that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed, the key word is removed, our transgressions from us. Hang on, you might just get excited this morning, I'm telling you. So we find and we conclude, because of that fact, truth recorded in Scripture, because of the truth recorded in Scripture, that once we are born again, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, sin has been destroyed in our lives. Now, what I want to tell you is that doesn't mean that the appetites and things are not still there. What I'm talking about is things that you want to satisfy your flesh. How many know that sometimes people go around, and they're well-meaning, you know, bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds, talking about things that you shouldn't do? Well, how many know that when you're born again, or when you become a little baby, or when you're born, you're a little baby, and you depend on somebody else for everything? You can't continue to function or exist without the parents, without the love and the affection, the touching and things like that, and the training that comes with being a parent. It's the same way with a baby in Christ. That's where we have to renew our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. That's a process that starts over time. And when God deals with us, He doesn't deal with us on everything at once. It doesn't just, boom, go away. What has gone away is the sin nature that made us a sinner that needed to be saved by grace. Because of the washing away of the sin by the blood of Jesus and by the completed work, we now have the ability to for God to work on us one step at a time, one issue at a time in our life. We couldn't handle it if He just zapped it out of us all at once. I mean, know what I'm saying? So it's a one-step process. Smoking will not send you to hell. That's true, and you'll smell like that's where you came from. But the point is, that won't send you to hell. You see, when God tells you, how many know you're accountable for what you know, not for what you don't know? Because God speaks to me and tells me, Bill, you need to eliminate this out of your life. Once He speaks that to me and I make the decision I'm going to do that, He works in me, He helps me walk that out. He's a co-laborer with me. Do you understand what that means? He doesn't just hand you the book and say, well, here you go, live up to it or die. That's not what He says. That's why He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth. Amen? So one step at a time. If God speaks to me, that doesn't mean I have a right to point to you and say, man, you need to give that up, or you need to stop that. If God didn't say it, don't listen to it. God's still speaking to hearts today. And God will cause to come out of you at the time that it needs to come out of you those things that you don't need to be involved with, or that you don't need to continue in. Amen? You have to have an understanding that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're the temple of God before you can operate in that. And that comes one step at a time. Amen? Once and for all, the free gift has been given, transferred to the believer. Okay? Other places in the Word say in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Because of Jesus' obedience, we have been made righteous, made to be and operate in right standing with God in Him. Amen? Jesus paid the price that was on our heads in full. He did away with it. He says that I have removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. I remember it no more. Didn't we read about our transgressions being removed? No remembrance of them. He says they're buried in the deepest sea. Romans 8:2 says, for the law, listen now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has made us free. Doesn't the Scripture say, whom the Lord has set is made free is free indeed? And then He goes on to command us, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Okay? It takes an act of obedience. The law requiring death was fulfilled and done away with in and for those who surrender themselves to God through Christ. So the sin that required death is the rejection of the plan and fulfilled work of Jesus at His death, burial, and resurrection. The sin that takes a man to hell, that makes a man a sinner, is the sin of not receiving the free gift of God. Are we clear on that now? Once again, the term sin has been slung around so much that the understanding in many people's lives and thinking is muddied. It's muddled. It's lost its poignancy. Now, when we talk about things that God asks us to leave alone, and he deals with each one of us, he doesn't require something of you that he doesn't require of me, and vice versa. But it becomes a requirement and something you need to deal with at the moment he speaks to you, not when he speaks to me, and vice versa. Amen? We have appetites. That's why we have to have our minds renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. That's why we have to stay in the Word, and why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That causes the changes in our lives. Those are the steps from the time we're a new infant in Christ until we come to the place where maturity begins to take hold in our life. Amen? So, yes, the statement is true. You were a sinner that has been saved by grace, but you are not still a sinner. You have moments where you may do things that are not pleasing and that are not good for you, but the worry of losing... And how many know that death is not actually the physical laying down of this flesh? Death is separation from God. And that's what God did away with. Let me tell you something. Even the people who don't know God are eternal beings. Amen? Isn't that what the Scripture says? They're eternal beings. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And somebody might say, well, that's when real life begins. No. No. God said it's his good pleasure to give to us the kingdom down here. The kingdom begins down here. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You didn't earn it. You can't do anything to get it from God. It's something that God gives freely, just like his love. Amen? And his call. Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And you can go back and refer to Galatians 2:20. When you identify with Christ, then what happens is you are crucified with him because you've surrendered your life. You've given up your wants, your desires. I mean, it's a process. It's a process. But you're coming to that point as you begin to mature and as you continue to mature. You're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. You're still alive. Physically, you're still alive. But the life that you live now, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Amen? Let me just say again, many of you know this, but I want to reemphasize this. How many know that what's going on in the spirit can be manifest or mirror what's happening in the physical? And what's going on in the physical is a direct mirror of what's going on in the spiritual. Good example is when you think about it, where you are today is a direct result of what you've spoken and what you've done up until that point. But that's not the end of the story. If it's on the negative side, the end of the story is now you have the ability to go and now change as God illuminates your understanding. So we read in Ephesians 1:18, and gives you insight of what to do, you can now make the changes and start confessing the things that you need to confess to make sure that your future is different than your present. Hallelujah. And your present is different than your past. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. That sounds like hope, doesn't it? And hope doesn't make ashamed. Hope in God. The only place you can have hope. Therefore, in verse 4, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him in baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the nature, all the wrongdoing, and that sin nature that was passed on through the blood has been crucified with him. We're all united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be done away with. Let me ask you a question. Are we the body of Christ? Okay. Let me ask you another question. Can sin live in the presence of God? So if you're still a sinner, then how can you be in the presence of God at the same time? Hello? It's not possible. So the only conclusion we can come to is salvation is far beyond just fire insurance. There is a transformation that takes place. Let me tell you, scientifically, medically, some of us talked about this before, may have brought it up before, but I want to reemphasize this. If you have a certain type blood before you became a Christian, you're going to have the same type blood now that you are a Christian. However, when the blood of God, or the second and final Adam, enters in, it's been medically proven. Oh, God's so good. That there are characteristics in that blood that change. And it's visible to hematologists, who are those people who work and analyze blood. A new creation. A new species or being that never before existed. Glory to God. That's right, a new bloodline. The bloodline of God flows through your veins. I think some of you are starting to get excited. Hallelujah. Knowing that our old man, in verse 6, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, with that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that also we live with him. We just talked about that. Knowing that Christ, or the Anointed One, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Because of that sin blood transfer at your conception and birth as a human. Okay? After Jesus accomplished what he accomplished, that was done away with. Did you just catch that, what we read? Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, and death has no longer has dominion over him. Once again, are we the body of Christ? Are we seated with him in heavenly places? Are you starting to get the picture? Praise God. And the reason I'm sharing this, I know it's simple truth and it's foundational, but the point is, how many people can actually back up to these people? I don't mean being antagonistic or confrontational, but be able to, like the Scripture says, reason together with them. Back up what the Scripture says. A full picture by the entire context of his word. Not just by a scripture here and a scripture there. But by the context of the word. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. Do you hear me? Listen to what verse says in verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now what happens is you get born again, the Spirit of God moves in and begins to take up residence in you. And he begins to reveal to you areas as God points at an issue or an object or a thing in your life and begins to change you. The Bible says if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, it will make alive your mortal bodies. Amen? If you walk in the Spirit, and that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, to remind you of God's Word, remind you of the work that Jesus did in obedience to the Father. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not, what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your physical body didn't die, but your spirit man became alive. You now have taken up residence and now have a new father and a new bloodline. You've been grafted into a vine. And the life that feeds that vine comes from the main trunk of the vine, which is Jesus, that flows right from the throne of God. Amen? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Now, that sin there is not the sin unto death. That sin is those appetites and things that would supersede or try to block out momentarily because of an appetite what God requires of you. And all those things are based on lust or lustly appetites. And that's why we have to die daily. Why we have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, under unmerited favor. Now let me explain something to you. One of the things we know is the Bible says when you know to do the right thing and you don't do it, it becomes sin or disobedience. Now what happens when you continue in that is all of a sudden you start to get hardened in your heart. Your heart stops being a heart of flesh and a soft heart, but a heart that begins to harden and become a stony heart. And the more you feed those appetites, the more you are in danger of, at some point, and God's the only one who decides that, not you and I, in our own lives or in other people's lives. In fact, you don't have a right to even go there in other people's lives. God's the final judge. You and I haven't got enough knowledge or insight to go there. Amen? But what happens is you get hard, then what happens is you go back and start heading back towards the state where you become or have the possibility, the real possibility of becoming reprobate. What do I mean, reprobate? I mean where your knowledge of truth becomes tainted. Remember we talked about, and remember the scripture says, they love not their lives even unto death. That's talking about when you take up your cross and follow him, you love not your lives even unto death. If we understand, and most of us are mature enough here and have heard enough of the word, that we understand we're not here for us. It's not about us. It's not about what we can get out of life. It's not about what's important to us. It's what's important to God, and as a result, what's important to others so they can succeed and go on in their walk with God. And so they can come out of darkness like we did and come into his marvelous light. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you beginning to see a difference? Maybe y'all are smarter than I am. But, you know, it's good sometimes to remind ourselves of these things. And I love it when somebody starts to talk about some things. It forces me to go back and evaluate what do I really believe and why do I believe it and can I back it up? Or maybe even better stated, is what I believe backed up by the Word? That's important. That's the most important thing. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, in verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in the flesh. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What's the difference? When you walk according to the Spirit, you are cognizant of, and your desire and your focus is to fulfill God's desires, which are revealed to you through the Spirit of God. But when you walk in the flesh, your desire is to fulfill what's important to me, what feels good to me, what tastes good to me, and what I like, and you're not really concerned about God or anybody else. Once again, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I think with that, I'm going to probably stop for the moment. Romans chapter 8 is a good chapter to go through and just see what all it says. I would encourage you this week that you go and you look at that entire chapter. The beginning is free from indwelling sin. The next thought, starting in verse 12, is sonship through the Spirit. Verse 18, from the suffering to glory, or from suffering to glory. 31 is God's everlasting love. Everlasting love. If we weren't important to God, and when Adam messed up, God would have just said, whoops, I brought you in this world, now I'll take you out and make another one just like you. See if we can get it right this time. But God says He loves with an everlasting love. We know that from what we studied last week and from what Scripture says. His love is never ending and never dying. And so He devised a plan. And the cool thing is the way He did it is using natural means, with the one exception. The sin transfer didn't take place in Jesus, which made Him the spotless sacrificial lamb. Glory to God. And that's why we have the ability, if we really understand, to come boldly into the throne of grace. Boldly. Without any sense of guilt or sin or wrongdoing. And the key is, when you know you've messed up, you don't stay there. You run as fast and hard as you can. And like David, be quick to repent. That means turn away. Amen? Which perpetuates the work that Jesus did in your life. That He accomplished by His obedience. It just takes obedience to God and a desire to live for Him and to live for others. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's got your future wrapped up. So instead of worrying about your shortcomings, what you should be focusing on is obedience and going where He takes you so that you can be effective in the kingdom, effective in fulfilling His plan, and in so doing that, walk in the blessings that He has designed for you. Yes, sir.
You say that if Adam hadn't sinned, the bill, I think God knew that Adam would.
I think He did.
And so that He would have people come to Him as a choice, that we would have the choice of
Him. Absolutely.
And because of that, we can love God even more.
Amen.
And He can love us even more.
Amen.
And that love will never die.
Amen. Amen.
So we have that choice because of what Adam did.
Well, yeah.
To me, I think that is a God-given, what would you call it? An incident that God knew was going to happen, but He had a choice. He had a plan even beyond that.
Amen.
Jesus.
Well, we know that He says He knew us from the foundations of the earth. Before we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb. So
the choice that we have now is God given.
Amen. But the cool play, the cool thing is the way he devised it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope this was insightful. I hope that it was something that once again took you back to the place where you made the decision and reminded you exactly what that decision was and what that decision means. Both the decision that Jesus made to obey the Father and then the decision that you made to receive Him, allow Him to take control of your life, surrendering your life to Him. Surrendering. Surrenders not surrender until you're surrendered. Give up. Give up. He must increase and we must decrease. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why the scripture says, how will we escape if we neglect or don't take heart the great salvation that God provided? Amen. Hallelujah. All of this is a good excuse to be excited in God, to be happy. Amen. And to have a feeling of security. Your salvation, sure. Amen. No doubt about it, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer about anything? Gene? Harry? I mean, Gene and Art?
Well, I just choked on some chocolate. I'm sorry.
Aha, your secret sins will find... Oh, never mind. Never mind. She knows I'm just teasing. Yes, sir.
Yesterday, I made a decision that Christianity is not a feeling.
Amen.
It's a commitment.
Amen.
And you've drawn that to my attention in your sermons. And I made a decision yesterday to put the Lord into my heart.
Praise God.
And go forward.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus Christ. And at any cost.
Amen.
And Jesus is going to be there with me. I'm strapped in for the ride. And just pray for me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. See, this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we don't see what goes on behind the scenes.
Praise God.
This man came here in desperation. Life a mess, a shambles. Did you hear the confession? He's been faithful the last few weeks. We met yesterday. We talked. He's on the road to recovery.
Amen.
We're going to stand with him.
Amen.
We're going to stand with him.
I'd like to insert one more thing. I know you all have been praying for me. I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. What I really need help with is I've had so many bad habits that my self-control is something that needs to be dealt with. And I don't want to falter.
Amen. But, well, Daryl Lip.
Those things will change with time.
Amen. That's I was just going to remind him what we talked about yesterday. as I've been mentioning all morning, God changes things one step at a time, one place at a time. You don't get into a mess in your life overnight. And while changes can take place instantly when you give your life to Him in some areas, but other things take time to backtrack. And because of the commitment, what's cool is God moves in on the scene. And again, He begins to work with you, both to will, to have the will, and to do what your will and His will is, which is obey Him and follow Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Daryl, we're in agreement with you. And that's what I say. We're here for you. And I just encourage you. We've heard what you said. By the way, when you say invited him in, did you just tell him, I need you, Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Do we need to pray about that, or you got that covered?
I got that covered.
Praise God. It's a done deal.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice. You know, the cool part is sometimes God lets us get to the lowest place. And when I say lets, it's not His desire for us to be there, but He lets us get to the lowest place. So the only place we can go and the only thing we can do is look up and realize, like the song says, that He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Praise the Lord.
I personally want to say thank you for yesterday.
We'll give God the glory. All I did was be obedient, and you're worth it, man. You're worth it.
That's what Jesus did.
Hallelujah.
The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock this morning. And for some odd reason, I don't know how the song goes, but this is what was in. He just woke me up, and I started singing, What can wash my sins away? Only but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Why that happened?
Well, I can tell you why. Because there's a new work going on in your life. You're that new creation, new species or being that never before existed. Hallelujah. And you just sit back and watch. You said you were strapped in. You just sit back and watch. God begin to melt those things away. Reveal them to you. You confess them. You forsake them. And go on.
Amen.
See, you're not at the end of your life. You're at the beginning of your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yesterday.
Praise the Lord.
But I need Jesus' help. And he's gonna be
we all do. We all do. You're not the Lone Ranger.
So y'all don't stop praying for me, okay?
You got it. Yes, ma'am.
Daryl, I want to tell you something. There isn't a single person in this church who hasn't been brought out of something. We've had alcoholism, smoking, immorality. Believe me, we've come through it, and it can be done, but it takes just a little bit of time, so don't be impatient.
Amen. Don't be weary in doing good. You'll reap in due season if you don't faint or you don't lose heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You know, amen. I just can't help but get the feeling that God's up to something.
Amen.
And I like it.
Let's have a party.
And I'm excited that we're all, did you hear me? We're all a part of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's celebrate.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you for spiritual healing in Daryl. I thank you that's the most important healing. But, Lord, we know that there are needs, even right here, Lord, this morning, for your touch and for the reality that we walk in health. We're not seeking to walk in health. We're not seeking healing. We have healing because of what Jesus accomplished. So right now, I send the word to Gene, to Art, to Daryl, to myself, and all those who are in need of a touch from you, Lord. Whether it's spiritual, physical, financially, emotionally, Lord, I thank you as I send the word right now that those needs are met It's done in the name of Jesus, and we'll have no other confession in your name. And Lord, in that, we give you honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving for the accomplishment. And we thank you, Lord, for reminding us and showing us and teaching us this is the way. Now walk in it. And that we don't do it by ourselves. We do it by obedience to your word, which means we walk with you, Lord. We obey you. But we thank you that you work in us, you work with us to accomplish the things in our life and to back up the decisions we make, but also that you give us one another to stand by, to hold up each other's arms, to lift one another up so that we can not stumble. Because we know that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we thank you, Lord, that in the faithfulness of coming into your presence, in the faithfulness of studying your word, Lord, that our borders are lengthened and our stakes are strengthened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together in your presence. We thank you for the fellowship we've had with you and in your word. We thank you that it's going to continue now as we fellowship with one another. We sanctify the food. We receive it with thanksgiving. And we thank you for the fellowship and the blessing in that fellowship, Lord. And that relationships are strengthened also. And friendships. And that now we're in a family that has more meaning than we ever deemed or could think possible or could imagine possible because we're in your family. We thank you for the relationships we have in the natural, but Father, most of all, we thank you for the relationships we have in the Spirit, the family of God. Now go with each one. I say, Father, and I ask, Lord, and I speak. Let your face radiate and shine on your people. Let your blessings overtake them. Reveal to them your thoughts, your good pleasure for their lives, Lord. We know that it's your good pleasure to give to us the kingdom down here. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We now seal your word by the Holy Spirit of promise. And we thank you that every word of man falls to the ground and your word stands. Every thought of man that doesn't line up with you and your word, Lord, falls to the ground and dies. And your word is sealed, accomplishing what it was sent to do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.